of the goodness of God.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here for all your blessings. Lord, I pray that you'd be with those that are sick and hurting right now, that your healing hand would touch them. I pray, Lord, that any distractions that's going on in our thoughts and our minds, that you'd take them away right now. And Father, that you would speak through me. Lord, people wouldn't see Pete preaching, but they'd hear your voice ministered to each and every one of us this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So being Thanksgiving week coming up and everything, I thought that that I should talk about having a thankful heart, attitude of gratitude. I preached on that a while back. I can't remember when. And for a while, I had gotten a pretty good habit. Every morning as soon as I woke up, I would thank God for the day. I would say, thank you, Lord, for another day. May I do your will. I was getting in a really good habit of doing that as soon as my eyes opened. But then, I don't know if it's the cold weather or what, but who in here likes cold weather? Okay. I don't like it at all. I don't know if it's because I go into work at 5:30 in the morning and I work out in the cold and I'm shivering all morning. I do not like the cold. You know, I'm layers upon layers out there freezing. And when you got that many layers on, anytime you try and move or do anything, you just feel constricted. And so I don't like the cold weather. So I don't know if that's what had to do with it. But I noticed this week it caught my attention how I haven't been thanking God as soon as I woke up. And I also realized something else, that when I was getting to work, I was jumping in on the complaining. You know, some things it's easy to complain about, isn't it? I mean, there's things in life that you see and it's just like, you know, it's totally wrong, so it's easy to complain about. But does it make it right? No. But I thank God that through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, as I was complaining, as I was griping, as I was moaning a little bit, the Lord convicted me and I stopped. And I started up again, I stopped. And I was thinking, Pete, what's wrong with you? Why are you complaining? What is going on? Why aren't you thanking God as soon as you wake up every morning like you were doing? You know, as I was thinking about this and preparing for this message, and I thought, you know, what does complaining really reveal about your heart? Have you ever thought about that? What's complaining really revealing about your heart? Well, I would think it's a lack of faith. It's a lack of faith in God, knowing that He's brought you where you are, that God's overseeing your life, that God's a part of your everyday life. It's a lack of appreciation. Complaining is a lack of appreciation. You don't appreciate what you have. We had this guy that I worked with for several years, and he's passed away now. But he was a big complainer, and he had a accident at work, and it was an accident. He forgot to set his parking brake, and when a forklift was driving in the trailer, when it went to back out, the trailer and truck went one way, the forklift went the other way, and the forklift fell onto the ground. And thank the Lord, the forklift landed upright. The guy drove around the building into the ramp back in the building, didn't even hurt anything, but that's usually a fireable offense. But this guy had a great safety record and everything else, so they didn't fire him, but he conducted the meetings for the next week on safety. And he also conducted in the meeting, he said, you know, a lot of us complain about our jobs, but he said, when you're faced with losing your job, he said, that job sure does look a whole lot better. And he was thankful for his job. The perspective came into focus. But when we complain, it's a lack of faith. It's a lack of appreciation. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So I think of complaining kind of goes along with discouragement, goes along with the lack of faith. But if we really believe that God himself is going before us, then why do we complain so much? I shared with the guys Wednesday night, a couple weeks ago, we was talking about patience, and I found out I'm not the only one that struggles with patience, you know, but I shared with the guys Wednesday night this week. Me and Crystal was in Fort Smith, and she had to go back with the nursery. Good, I can tell good stories now. But we're caught on Rogers Avenue, and everywhere we went, it was like problem after problem. And she looked over and she said, "You know what? Why is the Lord always trying to teach you patience when I'm with you?" Because, you know, and it's like we were having all these problems, and she's like, "God's always trying to teach you patience." And I did good this week. I did. But if we really believe that God Himself goes before us and God is guiding our steps, why is there room for complaining? Why is there room for negativity? Numbers 14:27 says, "How long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites." He's saying, how long are you going to grumble? How long are you going to complain? And I'm not preaching at y'all. I'm preaching at me this morning. Y'all's just getting the overflow. How long are you going to complain? You know, it's like sometimes, it's not very often, I complain about it being too hot. But I'd rather it be too hot than too cold any day. So I try not to complain about being too hot. But y'all, in the cold weather, I'm such a baby. I am. I'm a baby, and I don't like it. And it's just but I know we need cold. One thing I like about the cold is it kills the fleas on the dog that I told y'all about. You know that dog, ever since I preached about that dog, has only run away one time. So, hey, the prayers are working. So, anyway, but I know we need the cold to kill the bugs, to kill the, you know, all that. It's easy to grumble and complain. It's easy to look at things in your life and go, why is my boss this way? Why is gas prices the way they are? Why is groceries gone up? Why does, you know, this week, a guy is delivered to and pick up from, he doesn't get along with very many people, but I think he likes me okay. But he told me that he wasn't able to go anywhere for Thanksgiving because he just didn't have the money for gas. And I thought, how sad is that? He can't go to see his family because he doesn't have the money for gas. And I thought, you know, it's here I am grumbling and complaining. I'm not missing any meals. I got a heating blanket on my bed I can turn on. And this guy can't even afford to go home. It kind of brings it back to what do I really have to complain about? What am I really grumbling about? 1 Corinthians 10:10 says, "And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel." You know, in that section, I didn't want to read the whole section, but it's the sexually immoral. It's the idolaters. It's all that grouped in with grumblers. You know, a lot of times we think of people that are that maybe are in idolatry or sexually immoral. Oh, they're the sinners. All the while we're complaining. It's all in that same category right there in 1 Corinthians 10. And so it said that they were killed by the destroying angel. And so I want you to think about, did you know that it's scientifically proven that if you are grateful and thankful, there's all kinds of health benefits. All kinds of health benefits. I couldn't even list them all. And I think last year at Thanksgiving, I did list some of them. Look it up sometime. Just having a thankful, grateful heart, you're healthier. You sleep better. It's all these benefits to your life. And so why are we so negative? Why do we look at the glass being half empty instead of being half full? And what is really in your heart that you feel cheated, that you feel shortchanged, that you feel like you have a right to complain? And if you want to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 7, and this story really came to my mind. Luke 7, verse 36. It says, "Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner.' Jesus answered him, 'Simon, I have something to tell you.' 'Tell me, teacher,' he said. 'Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?' Simon replied, 'I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled.' 'You judge correctly,' Jesus said. Then he turned towards a woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she had poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little.' Then Jesus replied, 'Your sins are forgiven.' The other guests began to say among themselves, 'Who is this who even forgives sin?' Jesus said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" To me, that really puts into perspective when we complain, when we're bitter, when we're upset, we really haven't put in our thoughts and our mind how much we've been forgiven of and how grateful we ought to be. How much God has done for us. How much Jesus has done for us. This woman couldn't quit weeping, wiping her feet with her hair. She had such a outpouring of emotions for Jesus because she was so grateful for who He was. You know, my company this year, to get people to come to work for them, in the spring, they began to hire everybody at top pay. I've been there 23 years, and if you were hired last week, you would start off the same pay as me. And then to entice people, they were giving them $5,000 to come to work there. So they get top pay and a $5,000 bonus for coming to work there. When I was hired, I was doing everything in my power to get that job. Dressed up nice. I was polite. I was kind. I was calling people that worked there. "Hey, say something to the boss for me. Say something to the boss for me." Because I wanted that job so bad. I was so appreciative of that job. Now you're having to pay people $5,000 bonus to just get them to come to work. But over the years, where has my attitude gone? Do I still appreciate it the way that I did? Am I still so thankful for my job? Or do I just jump in with everybody else and complain and wish there was something different? See, this woman, she had a sinful past and a sinful life, and she was so grateful for Jesus and all that He was doing. But the Pharisee was, Is anybody getting this morning? Where is your heart at? Where is your mind at? Do you appreciate all that God's done for you? I want to go back to Matthew 26 if you want to flip there. And this is a different woman who anoints Jesus with perfume. And I think that this will really reveal some of the attitudes in her heart. In chapter 26, verse 6. And it says, while Jesus was in Bethany and is in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste? They asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. And where I thought of this is I thought, are you the type of person that say, oh, I'm so thankful for Jesus, that you're willing to give, that you're willing to give a great price, a great deal, to express your appreciation for Him? Or are you one of those people that are just going to sit back and complain and moan and groan? How could they do that? I don't appreciate what they're doing. How could they do that? And I think I told this before and I preached on this about perspective, you get a bonus and it might be $20 and you find out everybody else. My company, we got a raise and everybody was so excited. We got a raise. And then we found out the guys in Northwest Arkansas got $1.50 more raise than us. And all at once our raise didn't look so good. Well, the cost of living's higher in Northwest Arkansas. Well, they're 50 miles away from Fort Smith. You know what? And all at once the complaining came. Well, before we knew about them getting $1.50 more, we were all happy. We were all excited. Wow, we got a raise. And then when they got $1.50 more. Well, wait a minute. Then we're complainers. Where is your heart at? Do we say, the Lord Himself goes before me? The Lord Himself is with me? He is guiding my steps. Y'all, this is a battle for me. This is a battle for me. There was something I was just talking to Crystal about this morning. And I told her, I said, I'm struggling with this and I don't want to struggle with it, but I'm struggling with it. And being... not being ungrateful, but complaining about a situation. And I said, why do I have these feelings inside of me? Why is it making me so upset that something that's taken place that should be a good thing? It shouldn't be a bad thing. And if my perspective was right. And she said, you know what? I'm struggling with the same thing, the same issue. And we talked about it. No, I don't want to be a complainer. I want to say, God, I'm trusting You and I'm grateful for You. And no matter what season it is, no matter what's going on in my life, God, I want to appreciate You and I want to. But I think one of the big problems with all of us is a lack of contentment with where we are, with knowing God's in control. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Now, how many of you, if you have food and clothing, are really content with that? I mean, really, are you content with that? You know, last year, I don't like beans. I wish I did. I don't like beans. But you know, last year, all the hype and food shortages and all that, we bought a big old bag of beans, just in case. Just in case we got this big old bag of beans. Now, honestly, if I was just content with food, that bag of beans would have been gone. But we hadn't even opened that bag of beans. You know why? Because I don't like beans. I'd rather have steak. I'd rather have tacos. I'd rather have hamburgers. I'd rather have something else. So am I really just content with saying, well, you know what? We've got a 50-pound bag of beans there. We don't need to buy groceries for the next month. Let's just eat beans every day. Save some money. No, that ain't happening. But how many of us can really just be content in our circumstances, in our situations, and where we are? We see somebody with a new car, so we want a better car. I told you all the story about that guy. This was about 3 or 4 years ago. He had like a $150,000 sports car, but it was a year old model, and he wanted the new model, and his dad wouldn't give him the money for the new model. So they had video evidence of him pouring gasoline on it and catching it on fire so he could collect the insurance company, so his insurance money, so he could get the newest model. You want to talk about discontentment? Why do you think Chevy and Ford change their body style just a little bit every year? Because they want you with the newer. They want you, oh, I don't need last year's. I need this year's. And it's this cycle that we go through in our hearts and our mind. And when we're so discontent with our jobs, with our life, with what's going on, then all at once we lose any kind of gratitude that we would have. In Philippians 4:11, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. See, there's the key, is learning to trust solely in Jesus Christ, whether we have plenty or whether we have want, whether we have a little or whether we have an abundance. But our problem is we don't really trust. We don't really have enough faith. So we're discontent, so we're grumblers, so we're complainers, so we don't trust God with our finances, we don't trust God with the decisions that we make in our life, we don't trust God, and then when things are all messed up, then we want to complain, then we want to blame God, then we want to say, what is wrong with my life, and wah, wah, wah. Colossians 2, 6 and 7, I'm about to close. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. I'm not going to lie, this week when it's 20 degrees and I got to get up and go work in the cold to earn a living, I'm not overflowing with thankfulness. But when I get that paycheck on Friday, I'm very thankful. When I write out the bills for that month, I'm very thankful that I don't have to call my dad and say, Dad, I can't pay my electric bill. Can you help me? That I don't have to, you know, go do something to scrounge up the money. I'm very thankful. But to overflow with thanksgiving, y'all, I got work to do in my life. What about you? What about you? Are you full of thanksgiving, or are you a grumbler and a complainer? Are you overflowing with thanksgiving that every circumstance, everything that happens in your life, can you just say, God, I'm truly content. I'm truly content with where You've placed me and what You're doing. And Lord, I may not understand it, but I know You're working things out. I know. I don't understand. We don't always understand, do we? We don't always understand, but to have that attitude of saying, God, I know that I'm in Your hands. I'm Your child. And I want to end with this story. And I wrote this in this morning. So John the Baptist has been killed. And this is where we're going to pick up. And Jesus is finding out in Matthew 14. Matthew 14, 13. When Jesus had heard what had happened, He withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. You ever been there? You just need to get alone. Man, I just need some time to think. I just need some time to pray. My heart's hurting. Maybe it's been a family tragedy. Maybe it's just been fighting in your home. Well, maybe it's your job, and you just need that moment. You just need that time. Jesus was withdrawing. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. You know, sometimes when I've been at my weakest, when I've been at my worst, is the very time that the phone rings. The very time someone needs me. And you're going, okay, Lord. Jesus didn't reject him. Jesus didn't turn him away. Verse 14, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. He was going to get away. But what did he do? He had compassion on them. He seen their needs and he began to meet their needs. Verse 15, as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Where would we be? Complain. I've shared the stories before where I've been driving past people and the Lord says, "Go back and help them." This year when we had our big 4th of July party, and you guys remember what I did, and I had to take the stuff back to people, back to Colton, all the out, and I'm up at Greenwood and I saw a car broke down and the Lord said, "Help them." And it's like, "Lord, we've been out in the sun all day. I'm exhausted. I don't want to stop." Come back and stop. They didn't need my help. I think God was just saying, are you going to do what I tell you to do when I tell you to do it, even if you're exhausted, even if you're tired, even when you don't want to? There's other times that the Lord says, keep going. Very clearly, keep going. There's times He says, stop. There's times that God says, answer that phone call. There's times that anyway. Jesus had compassion on him and he says, don't send him away. How many of us would complain? Where are we going to get this food? How am I going to do this? What are we going to do? They begin to explain. Verse 17, "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Now, I've preached on this before, and I hope y'all remember. When did the increase come? When he gave thanks. He took the little bit that he had and he gave thanks and God multiplied it and multiplied it and multiplied it and multiplied it. When we complain, our complaints usually multiply, but our blessings don't. But when we take our little bit, whatever it is that you have, and you thank God for it, watch and see God multiply. In your life, the blessings. I heard a sermon, and I can't remember exactly how it went, so I don't want to go in great detail, but it really focused on the 12 disciples picked up 12 basketfuls. There was 12 basketfuls left, one for each disciple, and about their journey and everything else. And but I thought that was interesting. Maybe some of y'all can go home and study that and learn on that. But y'all, the increase didn't come until the Thanksgiving came. This week, as you're traveling, as you're with family, if you're home by yourself, I encourage you, every day you wake up this morning, start your day thanking the Lord for another day and thanking God for who He's going to bring in your life this week. And who you're going to get to minister to, and who you're going to get to cook for, and who you're not going to get to cook for, and what's going on. Crystal had a teacher this week tell her they were visiting, and I guess one of the teachers was talking about all of her kids and all of the noise and all of the chaos during the holiday season. And another teacher there said, you know, you won't believe how much you're going to miss that. Her kids were grown and gone, and it was all quiet. She said, you won't believe how much you're going to miss that. Some of y'all's in the quiet house, some of y'all's in the chaos house, and some of you is right in the middle. Can we give thanks in the chaos? Can we give thanks in the quiet? Can we give thanks right in the middle and say, God, I know you are directing my path wherever I am. And let's all get healthier. Because that's what it says. We're going to be healthier. It's proven you're healthier when you have an attitude of gratitude. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word today. And Lord, I know I've got work to do, but I pray through your strength, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will transform my heart and my mind, and that you will do the same for each and every one of us in this room today, that we will truly be a people that know how blessed we are, that we will truly be a people that give you thanks in all circumstances, in all situations, and that we can become those people that are content no matter what's going on in our life, that we can be content knowing that you are in control. Father, if there's any here this morning that's been struggling, Lord, may you touch them right now. If there's any here that's full of bitterness, unforgiveness, may you touch them right now. May they realize all that they've been forgiven of by you, Lord, so that we can forgive others. May we love much this holiday season and be grateful in all circumstances. May your will be done now with every life here in Jesus' name. If you need prayer this morning, the altars are open. I forgot to mention, I mentioned last week, we've got a prayer journal up here. If anybody would like to write down their prayer request, and we'll be praying for them, praying for the book. Anybody that doesn't want to get specific, you know, you can just put your name or just put request and the date by it, and we're going to continue to pray for that. I failed to mention we will not have men's meeting this week, being a holiday week. But next Sunday, we will have a Sunday night service. Got some things that I'd like to talk to everybody about. And so we will be doing that next Sunday night. And so I hope you guys have a fantastic Thanksgiving. Remember, if you know a family in need, let us know. Whether it's Thanksgiving, whether it's Christmas, let us know so we can help. If you know of anybody in need, please let us know. And so y'all have a fantastic week.